This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope, Monday, September 9th, 2013. The Colorado Trust, a nonprofit healthcare group, says getting young people to buy health insurance may be the biggest challenge ahead with the Affordable Care Act. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that Dr. Ned Colonge, the trust's president and CEO, said on Saturday that a 2011 study found that 30% of young adults and aged 18 to 29 didn't have health insurance. At a meeting on the Affordable Care Act hosted by Club 20, Colonge said convincing those young adults to buy health insurance would take, quote, a decade of shifting culture changes. Colonge said most young adults say high costs keep them away from health care, but noted that many simply don't think of it as a necessity. The Colorado Trust's mission is for all Coloradans to have access to health care by 2018, and Colonge says achieving that mission with young people will require convincing them of the benefits of the system while promoting its affordability. Morning Edition reported on this a little bit earlier. Closer to home, state health officials are teaming up to investigate a recent rise in illness from synthetic marijuana products, while also trying to determine whether those products may have led to three deaths. According to the Denver Post, the State Department of Public Health and Environment is partnering with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to look into about 75 recent reports of illness after taking the products. Dr. Tista Ghosh, the state's interim chief medical officer, said several of those incidences led to people being admitted to intensive care. The Post reports the investigations will look at patients' medical charts and study their toxicology results to see whether synthetic marijuana was connected to their illnesses. Denver area emergency rooms have reported a rise in the number of cases with connection to the substance. One family claimed their son suffered hallucinations and had trouble standing after ingesting a packet of the synthetic drug and was also suffering from paranoia. The Telluride Watch reports an agreement has been reached between the Federal Aviation Administration and Montrose-based Western Skyways Incorporated, in which the Montrose Engine Rebuilding Station will get to keep its FAA certification and won't have to pay thousands of dollars in fines. According to the Watch, Western Skyways in June appealed a decision by the FAA to revoke its certificate after the federal agency accused the company of improper record-keeping that led to a mid-flight engine failure, among other violations. Western Skyways officials have continuously denied the FAA's allegations. Under the settlement, the FAA agreed to only suspend the company's repair station certificate rather than ordering it to be withdrawn. That suspension ended on August 21st, and Western Skyways now has its certification back. The settlement also stipulated that the company would not challenge the 75-day suspension and that it wouldn't have to pay over $44,000 in fines from two alleged violations separate from the improper record-keeping claims. The Watch reports the FAA agreed to dismiss those fines only if the company fulfills some new conditions, such as appointing a company official to act as an accountability manager. That person will oversee all the company's repair operations and will also serve as a primary contact between the company and the FAA. The Denver Post reports one of Colorado's powerful political coalitions is hoping to propose a statewide sales tax that would raise $600 million a year for road repairs and transit projects across the state. According to the Post, the group called MPACT 64, M-P-A-C-T 64, which includes the Metro Mayor's Caucus, Progressive 15, Action 22, and Club 20, is beginning its efforts to get the sales tax on the 2014 ballot and is currently collecting a list of wants and needs from city councils and county commissions. Westminster Mayor Nancy McNally, a member of the group, said the details of the proposed tax are still vague, but the Post reports that measures would increase the state sales tax by 0.7% for a 10-year period. Around a third of the profits would go to transit projects, while the other two-thirds would go to Colorado's Highway Users Tax Fund. The Post estimates the state's Department of Transportation would raise about $243 million per year with the tax increase. CDOT spokeswoman Amy Ford said that money would fill a much-needed gap in transportation funding. The Aspen Times reports the case of an alleged kingpin of a Carbondale drug-dealing ring may soon be headed to trial. According to the Times, Evans Granbury might see a trial soon after failed plea negotiations with the 9th Judicial District's Attorney's Office. Granbury's attorney told a judge on Thursday that her client needed trial dates to be set after admitting that, quote, settlement negotiations are at a dead end. One of the cases against Granbury involves allegations that he sold prescription drugs on the street, while another accuses him of being a kingpin of a local drug-dealing ring. Granbury's attorney asked the date for the first charge be set first, calling it, quote, a very simple case. The attorney said, however, that a trial for the other charge could take at least 5 days and will be more difficult because of its publicity. The Times reports that Deputy District Attorney Steve Mallory called for the so-called kingpin case to be tried first. The allegations against Granbury all involve the claim that he supplied a number of small-time drug dealers in the Mid-Valley area of Carbondale. One of the cases stemmed from a December 2012 roundup in which around 40 police officers and agents of the Two Rivers Drug Enforcement Team arrested a number of individuals on drug charges. Glenwood Springs Police Chief Terry Wilson issued a statement at the time of the arrests, saying that during a 9-month investigation, undercover agents had bought cocaine, ecstasy, and other drugs, as well as one assault rifle and a .38 caliber pistol. Wilson described the amount of drugs involved in the arrests as, quote, predominantly user quantities. The Times reports Granbury has been free on a $30,000 bond since February after Judge Denise Lynch reduced his bail from an original $300,000. And finally this morning, going to a drive-in movie is the ultimate American summer experience, but it's something that may not be around for many more years. There are only 7 drive-in movie theaters left in Colorado. KGNU's Maeve Conran paid a visit to the Holiday Twin Drive-In in Fort Collins.
Hi, we've got 2 adults, a 3-year-old, and a baby.
Oh, okay, $14.
Okay. Huh? What time do you think it'll start?
I would guess 8:30 or soon thereafter, probably, if it stays.
Okay.
Have a great evening.
You too, thanks.
My name is Stephanie Webb, and I'm the co-owner of the Holiday Twin Drive-In Theater. The theater was built in the late 60s, about 1968, 1969, and my husband Wes purchased it in 1979. So he's owned it now almost 35 years.
At their peak in the late 1950s, there were almost 5,000 drive-in theaters in the U.S. Now that number is down to almost 450, and it's shrinking, with more and more theaters closing every year due to a variety of economic challenges.
Through the late 80s and into the 90s, a lot of drive-ins started to die out, and it was not because they weren't busy. For the most part, it was because progress was coming to those large tracts of land where drive-ins were located. It's evident here at the Holiday Twin. When my husband bought the theater in 1979, he says, you could shoot a deer rifle in any direction and not hit a thing. And now we're surrounded on 3 sides by housing. So that's typical. You'll see that in many areas where there were these huge tracts, 20 acres or more of ground. And as progress came to that area, Walmarts took over, Home Depots, big shopping centers, or even big housing projects, big multi-family housing projects. So that, when you're sitting on a seasonal piece of property that only generates income for about 6 months out of the year, and a developer comes up to you and is offering you millions of dollars, and you might make $40,000 a year, that's a big payday, and especially when it's a family-owned situation like ours is.
For drive-in movie fans, it's so much more than just watching a film. It's a place to hang out with your kids, to tailgate before the first feature, to have your first date. For Diane Wells and her sister, it's a chance to share childhood memories with their kids.
We had seven brothers and sisters, so there were eight of us our parents brought. And so, yes, running around, they always had the toys up in front and, you know, just the outside and falling asleep before the second movie started, which you always, one we couldn't see anyway, so.
Like many small independent movie theaters around the country, the cost of converting to a digital format is an expensive prospect, and it's forcing many theaters to close.
In the last 10 years, the biggest change that we've seen that's hitting drive-ins now is this digital transformation. And you're either forced to do it. In the next 3 years, if you don't make the switch from film projecting into the digital world, you won't be able to get product anymore.
New digital projectors cost $75,000 each. The Holiday Twin has two screens, and that's not the only cost.
And the building, because it was built in the 60s, had to be refurbished because they are very sensitive to dust. The drive-ins are, of course, all dust. And they're very sensitive to grease. They have to have certain filtration systems. They have to have their own cooling systems. We had to have special windows installed. So all in all, our bill was about $300,000.
There are about six remaining drive-in movie theaters in the entire state of Colorado, just two on the Front Range, this one in Fort Collins and another in Commerce City. This coming weekend is the last weekend of the season for the Holiday Twin Drive-In. They hope to reopen for the 2014 summer season as early as next March.
The show starts in 1 minute.
That was Maeve Conran for Rocky Mountain Community Radio. Don't you just love that accent? Now, if you're wondering about those drive-ins that are still operating, I came up with this list of seven. Holiday Twin in Fort Collins, 88 Drive-In in Commerce City, Mesa Drive-In in Pueblo, one that Maeve may have missed, the Comanche Drive-In in Buena Vista, the Star Drive-In Monte Vista, the Star Drive-In in Montrose, and the True View Drive-In here in Delta County. Thus concludes today's newscast. This is Brian Cambria for KVNF News.